or start to stray or neglect your spirit. I pray in our hearts, Lord, a yearning of your spirit to come away with you, to sit with you, God, to be with you. You are the anchor of our strength, O God. Thank you for the work of your spirit in our hearts tonight. You are so good to us. So good to us. We are so dependent upon you. Jesus said, whoever feeds on me will live because of me. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Just as food nourishes your physical body, it can't touch your spirit. Only the words of God. He said, the words I speak to you are spirit. That means his word feeds our spirit man, nourishes our spirit, fuels our spirit, strengthens us there. Your spirit created exclusively for God. People's affection can only go so far into your soul, but the spirit is reserved for God. And only God can satisfy your spirit, man. He said, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Whoever feeds on me will live. Live in the way that God designed for us to live. We'll live because of me. From the beginning, God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Lord, thank you. We are so privileged to have the words that you gave your Son to give to us, and now written on pages for us to read and to feed on. Lord, thank you for this. And the words of the prophets, the words of the apostles whom you taught and whom your Spirit followed up with and revealed and continued to teach. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Gee whiz. Blessed be the Lord. Randy, the Lord says, is not my word like a fire? Have you ever heard that? It's in the book of Jeremiah. Also like a hammer. I think the Lord wants to encourage you. I don't know anything else about you, your environment. But he wants to use you when you speak his word to set ablaze people for the Lord. And the word that he'll give you to release would shatter things, hindrances from people from receiving the Lord or the word of the Lord. It'd be like a hammer. That's just what I hear from the Lord to encourage you. We can talk about that more later. But his word is like a fire, and he'll give you the word. I don't know if I'll get this tonight, but in Isaiah, the Lord says, I create the fruit of the lips. And when God gives you something to speak, to somebody, it will be like a fire that will set them on a right course to be ablaze for the things of the Lord rather than the things of the world. And like a hammer, you know, to remove those things that are hindering in the spiritual realm that can shatter to make a way for people to come to the Lord. Does that make sense? Does that encourage you? Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Gee whiz. Y'all, let's just thank the Lord for giving a word to Randy tonight, huh? Lord, we just thank you. We praise you for your spirit moving, encouraging. From the beginning, you said you're going to touch our tongues and help us to release life to people. And you're doing that, even through the power of prayer tonight. I thank you, Lord, for these have come to. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know, when I had to go to a hospital to get some kind of test done, they eat something and they monitor it every hour to see if it's passing through your stomach. And our dear sister Sage, I mean, she was there taking care of me. Y'all, she treated me like I was a saint. You know, and I know scripturally I'm a saint in Christ Jesus. We all are. You know, some denomination has really gone the wrong way with all that saint stuff. Like you had to earn these spiritual things, you know, then all of a sudden you become a saint. The minute you're born again, you become a saint. And that means a separated one, a holy one. Thank you, Sage, for you're just really blessed and honored, your brother in Christ. I just want to do that. The Bible says to esteem others better than yourselves. You know, what better place to do that than right here? I'm going to share a little word with you. I won't have time to finish it, but we'll spend to just take a little more time on the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I sense coming into January, we're going to move into the area of how to be more effective and successful in our prayer life. Prayer is something to be discovered. You know, it really is to be learned. And Jesus is the best role model. I love what, it was either Mary or Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, my mind's somewhere else, Mary and Martha, is that right? And but one of them came to Jesus after Lazarus had died. Lord, if you'd been here, you know, he wouldn't have died. Because Jesus went beyond that to show the world that he is the resurrection and the life. And it was a little picture right there of the power of him being a resurrection. And but I love what she said to him about him. We know that whatever you ask the Father, you receive. What a testimony. We know that whatever you ask the Father, you receive. Would you all call that a successful prayer life? Gee. And I'm going to take time to look at how that was so, because he's still an example for us. And if y'all like me, and I would get frustrated sometimes because my prayers aren't being answered, and I've heard a lot of things. You know, I've been saved a while, but I'm like, I'm going to look into this years ago. I want to rediscover prayer, because I want to move more into, watch this, Sunday we heard that all scriptures God breathed and is profitable. It was four areas: doctrine, reproof, correction, and training or instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may become complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then in Colossians, the main part was Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Paul was saying, we're working with Christ in partnership with him to this end, to present every man and woman perfect, complete in Christ. And so when we're growing up into the image of Christ, into the fullness of the stature, how we are with people, the way we are, but it also includes his prayer life. That's an example for us to follow. Even in Revelation, I love what he said. To him who overcomes, I'll grant to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. That phrase, just as I overcame. See, those things grab me. You know, we can just read over things and we're missing a golden nugget. But that's the stuff that gets my attention, just as I overcame. I need to look then and learn, how did Jesus overcome? Do you think it was automatic for Jesus to overcome temptation like a robot? No. Y'all, when he went to Gethsemane to pray before he went to the cross, why did he go do that when he knew the Father's command was to go to the cross? Why didn't he just go be arrested and let them do what they're going to do? Why did he go to Gethsemane? And we learn a little secret. In Hebrews 2, it says that Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. By the grace of God. And you're like, whoa, he couldn't have done it without the grace of God. So why did he go to Gethsemane to pray? For the grace of God. And you learn in the Bible that there's a synonym for the word grace. And this is why it's so important for us to be educated, right, Mr. Russell? With God's word, it's profitable for doctrine. Instruction teaches us what's true so we can learn from and follow his example. So a lot of times, some of the best definitions and explanations and interpretations of scripture is another scripture. So he, by the grace of God, tasted death. He, by the grace of God, endured the cross. He couldn't do it in his own strength, by the grace of God. And so in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly, confidence, to where the throne of grace. Gee whiz. The throne for us is made of grace and not wrath or anger. But in that verse, it defines grace for us. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace for two reasons. So we can obtain mercy and find grace to help us. Grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus was in a great time of need before the mob was going to come. The temptation was to run. I love this. In one of the Gospels, they came. It's powerful. Disciples fled. All of that would happen. And this, it says, and Jesus stepped forward. You talk about power. He didn't shrink back or run. I don't have time to go into all of that, but he stepped forward for us. That's amazing. But what enabled him? Grace. When he went to that, the crucible of prayer, not my will, but your will, God pressing the Father, his will, and his Son letting his own will go out, the Father's will in, angels came and ministered, strengthened him. The Father gave his Son grace to endure the cross, to step forward. Gee whiz! All of us need grace and strength. The Lord told Paul when he was really struggling with this thorn in the flesh, which to me, I believe, was wherever he went. He was hardship, persecution. You know, one time the Lord said, don't be afraid, no one's going to hurt you. And he was able to minister 3 months or 3 years in a certain place. Some people think it was his eye infirmity, but I believe it was the mobs. He was persecuted so much. And he was pleading with Jesus that that could be removed. I need a break. And the Lord didn't take it away. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And here it comes. He interprets that right after that. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wow. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is perfected in your weakness. And so when Jesus went to Gethsemane, the Father's strength was made perfect in his human weakness, enabling him to step forward and be silent like a lamb. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Where are you weak in this season? Where are you struggling personally? What is it that maybe triggers something and it just comes out of your mouth and you're like, gee, I hate when I do that. That's not Christ in me. You know, it's there where we come to the throne of grace, the throne of help, supernatural help. The throne where, gee, God works in us. I can't wait to share with the body, you know, because we read what to do, but it's really important in our troubled spots where we struggle, where we're falling short. We got to put off that old us, the way how we react to those things. The Bible says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means we have to sow in our mind a different image. Well, then how do you want to respond when that happens? How do you want to be when someone cuts you off in traffic, you know, and those things, or they're just being rude? It's really important to sow a new image in the mind. And you're on your way to success when you do that. God helping us so that the next time it happens, you have something new for you to respond with. If we don't put the new in there, it keeps going back to the old. It's just the way your mind works. Something happens, your mind races with the database to bring up, how do you react in this situation? How do you respond? You have to, like a computer, store in there something new so you have a different response. So that's why, again, paramedics pull up, there's an accident, they respond, they know what to do, because they've been discipled. Someone else pulls up, they freak out. And it's wild. The hands will shake sometimes. I don't know what to do. And they see in blood. They're panicking. The mind is racing for knowledge. It's natural. It's the way our mind works. But there's nothing in there. No education what to do in that situation. It's like a panic. I don't know what to do. But we all know to call 911 because that's been sowed in us, right? It's one thing we can do. But a paramedic, completely different. Why don't they panic? Because they've been discipled. They have a whole new database, images, and then even after they're educated, they're with somebody and they get to watch them. And then they get to do it with that someone with them. Until they're mature and experienced. The same way in disciples. Jesus was doing the same thing, putting new thoughts, preparing them with the new covenant. In essence, he's preparing a new wineskin so that they're going to be compatible for and ready for the new wine, the outpouring of the Spirit of God that was going to take them way beyond what they've ever thought of or even thought they were allowed to do or in the old were forbidden to do. But God was going to take them beyond that. It's so important for us to be in the Word and let the Spirit of God renew our mind. That's making us compatible to go from glory to glory. Yay, is this encouraging anybody tonight? Say yes. Amen. Oh, my word. I had a really good message for y'all, but this is still good. We're not going to get to that. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to stop because I want, how many of you, and we're a small group, just during the worship time, did you have an opportunity, if you had a prayer request, did you give that to the Lord? Anybody do that? Or were you just wrapped up in worship, you know? Who gave your prayer to the Lord? Anybody? Okay, good. Good. All right. And I was able to. Who needs prayer? I need prayer tonight. I'm having a procedure tomorrow, a lung biopsy. And so that's a delicate thing. And I'm trusting God for a good report, you know. It's amazing how better I've been feeling week after week since I've come to Hosanna and ministering, isn't it? Talk about stepping out, just trusting God. And of course, my wife, she loves me. I'm her focus. And, you know, I've been at the point of death just 3 times in the last year and a half. That's no fun. But God delivered me from certain death each time. I had to overcome a lot of fear and anxiety when those things were happening. But the word of the Lord, sowing it in and just trusting God with that, it's a battle at times. So I need prayer tonight, just for this procedure. Does anyone else need prayer tonight? You just, while we're here, before you leave, anybody? Just me, huh? That word about God's grace, going to his throne to help you in your time of need, did that encourage you tonight, anybody? Good. And Rodney, wow, a word like fire and like a hammer. You know, Well, obviously, it's not to beat people over the head with it, you know, but we can talk about that more. God's going to use you. He's always looking for an intercessor to build a hedge and to pray. But as you draw near to the Lord and spend time with Him, you pray this prayer. Lord, thank you for your Spirit in me to create your word for me to release in prayer, during worship, and in people I meet that would start a good fire in their heart, right? And the Lord's going to help you. So can we pray for you tonight about that, okay? Come on up here. Everybody say, go Rodney. I said Randy, didn't I? I'm sorry, Randy. I did say Randy the first time. Well, I'm sorry. So, Russell, come on up here. That's awesome. And, amen. Can we pray for you? I want you to stand right here. Caitlin, gee whiz. God wants to tabernacle you so big. And He can because your heart's so enlarged. It's big, Caitlin. You know, He's no respecter of persons. Can I tell y'all one more thing? Gee. You know, when I was just a regular guy here at Hosanna, I taught at the school, but we'd come into services, and I got to teach these classes. And it was usually older people that came in. That was a break because I was a school teacher. But God gave me such a hunger, Caitlin. I mean, I would come early before Sunday school to pray for the class. And at least I had enough sense in the Word. Things just don't happen that well if you don't pray and depend on God and step out in that confidence. And then we'd have the service, so, you know, 8:30 and then 12:15 and people, and everybody's gone. I would stay here. I was so hungry for the Lord. And my wife didn't always like it, but she understood because she was hungry. You know, but she'd go home and I'd say, I'll be there. I don't know when. I would encounter the Lord. I would just stay. I'm like, God, I'm so hungry for you. And I would just melt. I get on my knees at times on the floor. One time, His presence just consumed me like a fire. I didn't understand all that, but what came out of my mouth, I'm just spread out on the floor. I'm like, God, your presence is consuming me. I can't take it anymore. It was like a fire. It was to baptize you with the Spirit and fire. Have you ever been baptized with the Holy Spirit, like speaking in tongues? Amen. You ever felt the fire of God in your spirit? Would you want more of that? I think it goes well with His words like a fire. You know, this is a special night for you. Like a catalyst, I don't know where you've been, but like a kickstart, you know? Do you need that? Would you like that? That's good. Would you maybe put some music on, just an instrumental or anything? You know, that's holy, of course. I love Will. He came here before all of us and got this place ready. Y'all say thank you, Will? Sonia, come stand here. Sonia's a deep well. And Miss Shirley, come please, and stand by Caitlin. You okay to do that? I love Miss Shirley. She's my grandma here in Baton Rouge, my spiritual. She's actually Drake's grandma right there. You are such a blessing. She would pull up on our driveway and bring us food when I was down and out and help us financially sometimes. Thank you so much. Let's just open your heart. Randy, just open your heart. Just talk to the Lord. Say, Just whisper, yes, Lord. Just be in agreement. I want you to set your fire in me again, Lord. Consume me with your presence. Just burn in me like a fire, Lord. Don't stop until I'm ablaze so I can be your vessel and release your word like a fire to be a spark in other people's hearts, to burn for Jesus and not the devil, to burn for the things of God and not the things of the world. God, thank you for Randy. Gee whiz. Burn in his heart, Lord. In Jesus' name. I just pray for a holy impartation to flow to you by the Holy Spirit. Burn for Jesus. You said you came to send fire on the earth, and how you wished it were already kindled. But then you were ascended. The Father gave you the Holy Spirit to baptize people. He already has been, but again with fire. In the name of Jesus, burn, Randy, for Jesus Christ. Burn in him new and revived desires in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And just thank the Lord for this impartation, Randy. This work, this renewed work. Tabernacle, a big tabernacle for God, even in the busyness. I trust you, Lord. As we all step out in faith, God, a conduit and a recipient, we step out in faith and say, yes, Lord, enlarge your presence. Enlarge your presence. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, he's even just blessing me with, you feel that? Gee, you know, something's just going to spring up suddenly. My word. Yes, Lord. Your will be done, your kingdom enlarging in Kalen. You two ladies, just continue. Just may the Lord give you something more, Lord. Anyone else, you're just hungry for God, come up here real quick. Before the service is over, you're just hungry for more of the Lord. I want God to work in my life. Jesus. Jesus. You know, just stretch your hands out here towards Russell more. God. Jesus. Our beloved brother, Lord Russell. Lord, his heart is aching for your presence. You know that. Aching for more of you. You answer, God. I thank you that you're going to draw him. Oh, Lord. The wooings of your spirit. Come away with me, Russell. You're going to create the space and the time to be refreshed, renewed. He's hungry for you. Thank you, Lord. He says, like the psalm, open your mouth wide, Russell, and I'm going to feel it. I'm going to feel it. Just a drink of your Spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for coming to pray. Holy hands laid upon you, Kaylin. Going to hold back. And when he gives you a pearl,